Okay, so I'm going to open up my Bible and just do a random chapter, a sermon on it. So we're going to do Kings, 2 Kings chapter 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehishtan, something like that. So, if you're wondering why God is not very tolerant of other religions, it's because they have bad laws. So, you break down the images because they distract you from God. They give you bad laws. He cuts down the groves because in these groves, the Israelites used to have orgies and they used to also sacrifice their children and eat their babies. And you break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Now, it's interesting that this brazen serpent is in here because, for one thing, the books of the Pentateuch were indeed written at the time of the 13th century BC. So this brazen serpent is being discussed here, which seems like a very minor detail, doesn't it? Like, why is this being discussed? This shows that the Bible is not written post-exile, but is actually written at the time it describes. Because for this detail to have shown up, I don't really think people are really that consistent with such a large body of work, especially, and doing it on scrolls and limited technology. They couldn't really create such a fluid and coherent structure. Yeah, there's probably some differences between the ages of people. Like, you know, it says here that Hezekiah reigned 29 years. You can find minor differences like that, but again, that shows that the Bible is properly recorded. It's not gone back and edited, as things like that would be very easy to edit. And it just seems like if the Bible were edited, you'd get less of that, not more. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we can be pretty sure that the Bible was not written post-exile. It wasn't edited by scribes and Pharisees to like conform with things. Pretty much consistent there. The Bible was handed down and it's authoritatively handed down through eyewitnesses of the events. And this is just one of the things, internal evidence that corroborates that the Bible is indeed written at the time it's discussed. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, not any that were before him. And I was just reading in a scholar today, or yesterday, about Josiah, which King Josiah is a pretty prominent figure in history. We know about him. But this is Hezekiah. This isn't Josiah. So Hezekiah is about, say, 200 to 300 years before Josiah. Maybe a little bit less than that. Maybe 150. We'll call it within that range. So there's a continuity of kings that are described in this book that we have back to the 13th century BC. And it seems to be authentic because of things like this. And also because, like, we know about Josiah. Josiah is a big figure, and it's not a post-exilic figure. It is a figure who had the continuity of the religion carried down throughout the ages, and this is Hezekiah, who would be about 2 or 3 kings before Josiah. For he cleaved the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whatsoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Which is important to understand that the king of Assyria comes down upon Israel at this time. This is at the time when Isaiah is preaching, and so is Hosea. And Israel's about to go into captivity, but because of Hezekiah's righteousness, it doesn't. Again, Israel's gone into captivity at this time. There's an entire 11 tribes that are in Israel. They're about to go into captivity, and these tribes were wiped out by the Assyrians, and they are no more. It says that later on in the history that they sinned against God, and they don't exist anymore. So, like, there is saying that the tribes we have now are Benjamin and Judah. They're the only tribes that are existing, but that's not entirely the case, because we still have other Israelites that have probably mingled in with the other peoples. So we'll have all 12 tribes of Israel. They still exist. It's just they're not necessarily Jews. Probably other peoples and other nations that have, and other tongues that have Jewish lineage. And that's where the 144,000 saints are going to be drawn from in the end days. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza, and the borders are up from the tower of the watchman to the fence city. The Philistines are the Palestinians. They're the Philistines these days. And Israel's destroying them, as they should, because, like, you think, oh, that's terrible. But, like, let's just face it. If Palestine was not dealt with, Israel would be genocided. There wouldn't be any more more Jews. There'd be no more Israel. So unfortunately, that's what has to be done. And you just got to accept the fact that that's what war is. When we went to Iraq, we went to Vietnam, we went to Korea, every war, it's wiping out a civilization. And you just have to accept that's what war is. That's why it's bad. That's why we don't fight them unless we have good reason. But Israel has a good reason for fighting a war right now. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is this ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And this is prophesied in Hosea because Israel was sinning. Samaria, its babies were ripped to pieces. And again, like, you might think, oh, God's terrible. It's like, no, this is the natural consequences of sin. If you're sinning, it brings upon you corruption and death and destruction. And that's why you don't sin. The king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor and by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them. But in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king of Israel, of the king's house. And this is Hezekiah giving the king of Assyria stuff from the temple, which is a no-no. And at that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the door of the temple and the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria sent Tertan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from the Lachish to the king Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood up by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway and the fooler's field. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, son of Asaph, the recorder. And Isaiah, and this is again interesting that this is so specific, Isaiah talks about Eliakim and Shebna. Shebna was not doing what he was supposed to do, and Eliakim was going to take his place. And basically, Eliakim and Shebna were the chamberlains of Judah, and Shebna did not give very good advice, so Eliakim took his position. And for, again, this internal consistency, Isaiah's talking about it, so is the Book of Kings. It's like you'd almost have to be a super genius, and even then, at this time period, they did not have the technology to do this. It had to be witnessed. They could not go back and rewrite things and edit them the way we can today on a computer software. It was really painstaking. It was really time consuming. And it's just like I said, there's just too many consistencies like this. Just way too many. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Seir, what conference is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest that they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on which dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which it may lean. It will go into his hands and pierce it, so is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. And so this is a really important doctrine in the prophets. Do not go down to Egypt for help. Egypt is not there to help you. So what does this mean? It means rely on the Lord's strength alone, not on other people. Do not rely on someone else for your strength. Rely on the Lord alone. Only he can deliver you. If you trust in Egypt, you're going to fail. And Egypt can be anything. It can be a lawyer that you shouldn't have. It can be a parents. It can be your friends. Just any unbeliever that's yoked to you. Don't trust in them to deliver you. Trust instead in the Lord. But if ye say unto me, where we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high place and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, that said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? And here the king of Assyria is like saying, look, this is what Hezekiah did. Why are you saying you trust in him? Why are you saying you trust in the Lord? How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put the trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now to come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, the Shebna, the son of Joah, and Rabshakeh, speak I, pray thee, to thy servants and to the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. And Assyria is saying that they have a message from the Lord that they're going to take Judah. And that's not true. Assyria is not going to take Judah. And they're saying that the Lord told them this, but the Lord did not tell them that, which is important to understand, because Hezekiah and the Jews are going to be delivered from the Assyrians in this particular episode. Now, in Jeremiah's prophecies, they will not be delivered. But in this case, they do get delivered. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man his own vine, and every one his fig tree, drink ye every one his waters of his cistern. And so I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, and land of bread and vineyards, land of olive oil and honey, and that ye may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuaded you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Aprad? And where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Job the son of Asaph, the recorder, and Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. So understand, at this point in time, Hezekiah is going to win this battle, because the king of Assyria is lying. He's saying, yeah, I'll take you to a nice place. I'll take you here. Just come with me. I took Israel, didn't I? So I'm going to take you, obviously. It's a lie. It is a downright lie. It's a dirty lie. If you are with the Lord and the Lord is on your side and you are righteous and your nation is righteous and it has repented from its deep sins. And this is what I keep telling people over and over again. If we repent as a nation, we will not be taken captive. We will not be destroyed, because we will be destroyed if we do not return unto the Lord. We must return unto the Lord at this hour, because it's dangerous not to. Because obviously the Assyrians came upon Judah as they did Israel. And Judah had a renaissance at this point. They found the Lord. They required his law. And at this time, Shebna is not doing his right work. And Eliakim will become a pillar. He'll become a nail driven into the wall and will hang the government on his shoulders. Hezekiah is a good king. He deserves good leaders. He deserves sound counsel. And that's why the Lord delivers Judah. It's because the land repented and all the idols and all the altars were broken down. All the altars to sin. All the idolatry to sin. It was all broken down. All these ideas in the theological sector that God is sin and that's where he comes from, and that Baal and El and Asherah are actually the real God of the Bible. If we break that down and we teach the truth, we will be delivered. But if we don't, we're going to be taken, because that is not the God of the Bible. Sin is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is El Yahweh provider, Jesus Christ. Not sin, not Baal, not Asherah. Those are sinful idols, and we need to stop teaching in the seminaries that the Bible comes from sin. It does not. We have a direct history recorded in evidence, in archaeology, and textual evidence, as I've proven here. The Bible is authentically the word of God. It comes from the Jews and was given to the apostolic tradition of the apostles like Paul, and then later into the apostolic tradition of Ignatius and Polycarp, and then sooner or later to us. We must keep the tradition alive and we must speak the truth. Otherwise, it won't be Assyria coming upon us. It'll be Babylon. And if Babylon comes upon Judah, Babylon comes upon a place of peace, there is no defending against it. It has the right to take it. We must repent.